Support for WPR comes from Present Music, performing honest music with guest violist and curator Nadia Sirota, May 9th at 8 at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Tickets and info are at presentmusic.org.
You're with us for the morning show as we bring you candidate conversations leading up to Tuesday's partisan primary. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Michael Beardsley is a Democratic candidate running for Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. He seeks to challenge Republican U.S. Representative Glenn Grothman, who was first elected to the office in 2014. Beardsley will face Democrats Matthew Boer and Jessica King, who we just heard from in Tuesday's primary. Are you a voter? What questions do you have for candidate Michael Beardsley? We're at 800-642-1234. Michael Beardsley is an IT consultant from Oshkosh. Mike, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Why do you see yourself as the best Democratic candidate to face Republican Representative Glenn Grothman in November?
Sure. So like you mentioned, I'm an IT consultant here in Oshkosh. I've grown up as in the Fox Valley my whole life, growing up in Freedom, Wisconsin. So I've been living a normal life, normal person. I went to UW Oshkosh, got my IS degree for information systems, and that leads me to where I am today in the IT field. So what I think sets me apart from the other candidates in this race, than from Grothman specifically, I feel like I'm the one that's running on specific plans that are one, most popular with people and voters in my district and the whole country. And also what I think will do the most good for people once they're actually passed. And another point is I'm a fresh face in politics. I'm coming in here with a new approach, with new energy that's trying to make us have a better future instead of returning to the past or returning to normalcy, which we're hearing a lot of today from some people.
When you say specific plans, if you are elected to Congress, what are three plans that you want to accomplish?
So my top two big ones that really pushed me to go into this race, and I'll throw a third one in there as well, but the top ones are fighting climate change and addressing healthcare. So on the climate change side, I'm a big supporter of the Green New Deal and specifically focusing on how it can help rural communities, because I think that gets left behind too much in the conversation. And then also I'm a supporter of a single-payer healthcare system, which is popularly known as Medicare for All. But again, I think this clears up the core of the issues that we're facing today with a for-profit private system that is our healthcare. And then the third one, I'll go with voting reform. So I think this is something that can help cure the, I'll call, hyper-polarization that we have today, where you have entrenched politicians on both sides and the divide is just growing wider. So if we enact congressional term limits and ranked choice voting, I think those are two things that will bring new voices to the table and make sure that we have the most popular voices at the table, and then also making sure there's more constant churn of representatives instead of people in office for decades, which just naturally you end up losing touch with what your district wants or what your district needs. So I think we need to get back to having the House of Representatives be what it was intended to be.
When you say voting reform, I'm wondering how you feel about campaign finance and how would you go about financing your campaign, what you feel about PACs?
Yeah, that's another one that I like to touch on in voting reform. So I'm very much against removing money from politics. So especially the big one is Citizens United, where we're allowing corporate money, dark money, whatever you want to call it. So my campaign's not taking any corporate PAC money, and I think it's wrong that we have that in our system today. I don't think our system should be funded by corporations when representatives are representing the people. So we should only be people powered and people financed.
Circling back to climate change, Governor Evers has set a goal for our state becoming carbon free by 2050. Is that a reasonable goal? Is that doable? And even in rural areas?
Yeah, absolutely. So that 2050 is the same date that a lot of plans throw out there, the Green New Deal included. Actually, the Biden and Sanders task force for climate change that was put together came up with a plan and goal to hit 2035 to be carbon neutral. So that's only 15 years away. So I think it's definitely not just doable. I think it's needed. And I like to say, or I don't like to say, but if we don't address this climate change issue proactively, if we wait too long, then really all these other issues aren't going to matter at the end of the day, because we're going to be failing at the issue that matters the most.
All right. So what concrete steps must Congress do to help Wisconsin become carbon free?
Sure. Yeah. So the goal is to hit net zero greenhouse gas emissions. So how you do that is we need to invest more in zero emission vehicle infrastructure, whether that's personal vehicles or bus or rail transportation. And then also on the manufacturing and agricultural side, there needs to be paths there for those industries to make sure that they're carbon neutral as well. And the big way to do this, and the big thing that I support, is a carbon tax. So this is essentially a tax on companies that use fossil fuels, use carbon. And it pushes the market or incentivizes these companies to move their operations to sustainable practices to lower their tax bill. Because if they keep doing the same thing that they're doing but burning fossil fuels, they're going to have a higher tax bill. So we need to put something in the market to make that shift. We also need to, for helping farmers specifically, a lot of things we need to do is around promoting the overhaul of our food system or transitioning to again, more sustainable food system, whether that's regenerative agriculture, shifting subsidies from these large corporate farms to back down to small and medium farms, because we have been seeing over the last decade or so, dairy farms have just been closing down at a pretty alarming rate. So if we shift these subsidies back to the farms that need them, while also having these subsidies be based around environmental initiatives. So one of the big things is incentives to actually transition to sustainable practices. So these struggling industries or industries that are just staying afloat can take care or take get access to these funds, transition their operations to renewable energies. So it's a win for the environment and win for these companies as well.
I'm going to jump in here and reintroduce. You were talking with Mike Beardsley, a Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District, as we continue our candidate conversations ahead of the Tuesday partisan primary, taking your questions for Mike Beardsley at 800-642-1234. Mike, you mentioned reforming the tax structure around corporate taxes. How would you change our country's taxes on personal income?
Yeah, so I think the easiest first step to do is just go back to the levels that we were seeing decades ago, where we currently have a progressive income tax, and we need to continue with that. So, for example, someone making $12 an hour is paying the same income tax rate as someone making over $100 an hour. So if we put in more steps in there, raise the taxes on higher income, then I think that's a natural step in just going back to what we used to have.
Looking at the climate and the water, how could Congress help improve water quality for residents of the 6th District?
Yeah, so the first thing we need to do is actually have the Clean and Water Act be enforced. I know we have an administration in office right now that isn't too keen on enforcing these environmental regulations that we have in place. But clean water specifically, I think there needs to be more testing at the state and national level so we understand what the problem is. And then strengthen the Clean Water Act to actually have clean water free and accessible as a human right that we all should have.
When you say strengthen the Clean Water Act, what do you mean by that?
Well, the Clean Water Act hasn't been touched since either the 80s or 90s. So there's a lot that has, I feel like, been modernized in technologies, and we're still sitting here with many residents in the 6th District either don't have any regulations because they're too rural, and there's no one enforcing these clean water acts, or in the cities, it just hasn't changed. So I think we need to relook at what we can do to make sure water levels are safer than what we currently have.
Let's look at healthcare here for a moment. You mentioned Medicare for All. How would you change our country's healthcare system to better equip it to handle future pandemics?
Sure. So I think one of the big, I'll say, failures that we saw with this pandemic is we didn't act as a nation, we didn't act as a unit, and that comes from the federal level. So instead of being reactive and everyone doing their own thing, if we had a single payer system in place, which is already publicly ran by the federal government, everybody's already on the same plan. Everybody is under the same umbrella. So it makes mobilizing these efforts to do testing and care much more easy. When people don't even know which doctors they can go to, which doctors are in and out of the network, it adds confusion to the system for people that are trying to use it. And that includes what they're going to pay when they show up to the doctor and all these things. So I think there's just general confusion and unnecessary overhead with our current system. If we take out the for-profit side of this, for-profit insurance companies that are really essentially just making money off of our healthcare, and big pharma companies setting the price that they want, we enact a plan that's publicly ran, lower the cost, cut out the overhead, cut out the middleman, and it makes everything a lot more efficient.
How would you work with your lawmakers then to put a plan like that in place and get that type of traction, that type of change for a single-payer system? That's a big change.
Yeah. No, it's a very big change. So this is definitely something we can't just flip the switch and do overnight. So there has to be a transition plan in place. So what I'm most in favor of for what I'll call it, the transition, is first putting a public option in place. This is essentially what the ACA or Obamacare was supposed to be, but it never ended up being, and it never ended up going into reality what it was intended to be as a public option, which is a public plan that people can buy into, but the old system still exists. So we have to have the intermediary step there, which is, again, still very popular, and again, something that should have been in place in the first place. Now, if we do that first step, then we can have the end goal as being single payer. But just working across the aisle and getting this done, this plan is very popular on the by Democratic supporters already. For the first 20 primaries for the presidential primary, all in exit polls voted in favor of having a single payer system.
I need to jump in right there with Democratic candidate Mike Beardsley, who's running for the 6th congressional district. We'll be back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. It's Candidate Conversations here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have Michael Beardsley, a Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. He aims to challenge Republican U.S. Representative Glenn Grothman, and he first takes on Matthew Bohr and Jess King in Tuesday's partisan primary. So who has your vote for the Democratic Party in the 6th? Are you voting for Michael Beardsley, Matthew Bohr, or Jessica King? What issues matter most to you in congressional elections? Join in, 800-642-1234. And candidate Mike Beardsley stays with us for 10 more minutes. Let's look, Mike, at the economic realities facing your district. If you're a member of Congress, what kind of economic relief measures would you support amid the pandemic?
Sure. Pandemic specific, so COVID, I'll focus on COVID funding right now. I think the priorities of our elected leaders need to shift back to the people just in general. Just seeing last week or two a defense budget of over $700 billion being passed, and we all know even a small chunk of that money would go a long way in stopping and funding this pandemic. So what I'm in favor of is another round of stimulus checks, essentially, but stimulus checks that are continuous until this pandemic is over. If we're shutting down the economy, making people stay home, we don't want to put people in the situation where they have to decide to go to work and put themselves and others at risk or stay home and lose their job. So that's why we need to make sure that they're kept financially whole during this. So I'm in favor of continuous monthly checks.
At what level? At what amount?
Yeah, so we're seeing a lot right now being talked about $2,000 a month. And then there's different, brackets. I'm in favor of the $1,200 again, like we first had. And then for children as well, any children you have, $500. So that's the level I would go with.
Would you extend the $600 weekly unemployment benefits that expired last month?
Yeah, that's a good question. So that's a tough one because before they decided to enact that, I was more in favor of doing what other countries did, like Denmark, where they guaranteed salary to keep people on payrolls instead of boosting unemployment. Because I think now we're kind of stuck in this situation where unemployment ran out, and now what do we do? Do we keep it going, or do we rip the Band-Aid off? So I think at this point you have to keep it going, because we already got ourselves into this mess. But again, I think that's something that should end once the pandemic ends. But people need the money one way or the other. And I will add the caveat that if we do have the continuous monthly payments from the stimulus, we wouldn't need the $600 unemployment, I would say.
Okay, so you're an IT consultant. Let's talk broadband, because every year our state provides millions of dollars in grants to expand access to high-speed internet. What more can be done in your part of the state from the level of Congress?
Yeah, so I'm a big supporter of making broadband access or internet access a right for all. So one thing I would do at the federal level is classify internet as a public utility, the same as, you know, water, electricity, things like that. So it's guaranteed, or at least the access is guaranteed. And you mentioned the state and has been given many grants in the past, and Governor Evers, I think, just put together recently a rural broadband task force. So I think my district, the 6th district, is mostly rural. So there's a lot of people that may have internet access, whether that's from their phone, wireless phone, or DSL, which are both very slow. So on top of just providing access or guaranteeing access, we need to up the standards on what minimal acceptable internet rate speed should be. And that should be 100 megabits down, which is what most people have in, say, Oshkosh or Madison. But right now, people rurally are sitting at about 10, which is very slow. And just face it, in today's day and age, if you don't have internet access, you can't partake in society.
Yeah, but the economics don't work for those providers to get in those rural areas, those last miles, to hook up a handful of families, of people, of homes and businesses. The economics of that don't work out. How do you make it work?
Yeah, so trying to run cable, like you said, for that last mile, it's definitely more expensive. So I'm in favor of a fixed point wireless internet connectivity system, or whatever you want to call it. So essentially, this is something that actually a lot of more mountain towns have done, because they can't run cable. It's essentially a low satellite dish that, I don't want to get too technical, but it bounces signals off each other and keeps it going wirelessly. So I think that's a lot more efficient financially for having, especially like rural farmers. They can put the satellite dish up and you're good to go. So there's still obviously there's financial cost to this, but I agree with you. Running cable usually doesn't work. It's very expensive. So we need to have another way to do it.
We're talking with Mike Beardsley, a Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District, as we continue our candidate conversations ahead of Tuesday's partisan primary, taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Rick in Fond du Lac has a question. Hi, Rick.
Hi there. Morning. I do have a question for the candidate, and, you know, was wondering, in light of his statement about, you know, being in favor of single-payer, you know, unified health care, what would his position on removing the supplemental Medicare Part B, C, D, all of the other supplemental insurance packages that elderly and retired and disabled are forced to buy to get full coverage for their own insurance or for their own health care, and funding that by changing the way that we calculate what the individual contribution to Social Security, Medicare is, to include all income, such as executive benefits package of, you know, stock options, use of a company jet, use of a company car.
Rick, let's let Mike respond here for funding health care for seniors.
Sure. Yeah, that's a very good question. So I'm in favor of what you just laid out with the single payer system. The need for supplemental coverage just essentially won't exist anymore. Everyone's on the same plan anyways. So you won't need to buy supplemental insurance. And I think that's a common misconception for people that aren't on Medicare already or Medicaid, where they need to usually buy supplemental insurance just to have full coverage. So a single payer system will fix that problem as well, I'll say, and how you pay for it and how I currently propose you pay for a single payer system specifically is we're already paying a 1.45% on our income tax, which goes to Medicaid essentially, which again, most of us don't even have access to, but we're already paying for it. You bump that up to 4% and everyone's paid for, everyone's on the plan. And then I think what you were touching on a bit there was changing the way we fund Social Security and Medicare again, including new ways like capital gains tax or wealth tax or things like that. So I'm in favor of going the route of also including the capital gains tax to help fund this as well. The fact is we need to keep Social Security funded and boosted, and doing so just via income at the income tax at the current levels isn't going to get it done. So if we loop in capital gains tax as well, I think that would be good.
Rick, thank you for the question. Mike, let's turn to schools. Should all schools be open or closed for in-person instruction this fall?
Well, this is the toughest question of the day. So there's really no right answer. I think it's pretty clear, and I think I would hope most people understand that if we're forcing everyone to go to school, it's just inevitable that there's going to be some types of outbreaks. So how are we going to mitigate that? So I don't want to ride the fence, but I'm in favor of a hybrid approach here. And a lot of districts are giving people the option, but I'm more in favor of 2 or 3 days in person, the other days virtual. Doing 100% virtual, I think, would also be a good start to the year if you do the first three, four months to kind of try to push or try to avoid the situation of being in person as long as we can, and then moving into person later in the year once this is more under control. That's the route I would take.
Mike, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Mike Beardsley is a Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. The district stretches from central Wisconsin to Lake Michigan and includes Portage, Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, Manitowoc, and Sheboygan. The Ideas Network is interviewing congressional candidates ahead of Tuesday's primary. Next candidate is tomorrow morning at 8. Democrat Matthew Bohr is also campaigning to unseat Republican Representative Glenn Grothman. Join us tomorrow at 8. Just ahead, it is On Point. What's the future of the Democratic Party? On Point will dig in. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.